listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cricket Podcast. I'm Jack Hope. Today we're going to talk about the IPL being cancelled. I'm assuming this is working. It says it's live on YouTube. Don't know why this has happened. I'm Jack Hope. Ross Legg, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad, mate. Can you hear me? Am I loud and clear?
Let's hope so. And Max Rowe Brown, do you want to do some talking to see whether the people of YouTube can hear us, can hear you?
Yeah, I could do that. It's going to be an interesting start for people listening on the podcast version, isn't it? They're going to be a little confused about what's going down. So for their benefit, Jack messed up the live stream and no one could hear Ross or me.
I didn't mess it up. OBS just didn't load. I have to route the desktop audio through. Just wasn't working. Wasn't pulling through. I don't know why. One of nature's mysteries. Fellas, we're going to talk about the IPL coming to a close, why that's happened, whether there are any alternatives, what might happen in the future. But before we get into that, Ross, do you have any messages for our listeners?
Yes, you should like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, which typically we run in a far smoother fashion. we are also sponsored by Woodstock Cricket, so they are bat manufacturers and they've got all the soft stuff as well, but they make some seriously good gear, so much so that this turned me into a half decent batsman at the moment, as well as Max, who could seemingly hit it off the square on Sunday, which was nice to see for Max.
Not very long though.
Well, we all know why that was, and
because you got out of LBW.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
And you should also follow us at the Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
That there we go. Is correct. And if you want to go a step further, there's some Patreon stuff and some join stuff that you can do to give to the podcast directly. Although on a day like this, everyone's really sad, so we're not expecting loads there.
Give it to the charity, the COVID charities instead.
Yeah, probably a better use of your money than giving it to us for now. Anyway, let's get into what happened today, Max. Your job is normally to summarise the events of the cricket match that we have just watched. There was no cricket today. There was no cricket yesterday. But there was some excitement postponement action, wasn't there? So do you want to talk us through what's happened, why it's happened a little bit?
Yeah, will do. Before I do that, I will just let everyone know that I hit the ball. So I wasn't out LBW. And now we'll get on with the show. Unfortunately, as bubble after bubble became compromised, the much talk about potential postponement of the IPL became unavoidable. Three games were called off at the start of this week with players and staff from a number of teams. I think it was starting with KKR and then moving on to Punjab Kings and then SRH today. I think it was Ridhiman Saha and also the bowling coach at CSK, all testing positive for COVID-19. And as a result, everyone else having to quarantine, which obviously does not go hand in hand with playing cricket. Joss Butler will be frustrated about that, having finally hit himself into some form. And Kane Williamson will be hoping that he'll yet have an opportunity to improve on his IPL captaincy record, which so far is not great. There is an official statement from the IPL, so I'll read that out as in lieu of the normal summary. So the Indian Premier League Governing Council and the BCCI, in an emergency meeting, unanimously decided to postpone the IPL 2021 season with immediate effect. The BCCI does not want to compromise on the safety of players, support staff, and the other participants involved in organising the IPL. This decision was taken keeping the safety, health, and well-being of all stakeholders in mind. These are difficult times, especially in India, and while we have tried to bring in some positivity and cheer, however, it is imperative that the tournament is now suspended and everyone goes back to their families and loved ones in these trying times. The BCCI will do everything in its powers to arrange for the secure and safe passage of all participants in IPL 2021. And the BCCI said they would also like to thank all healthcare workers, state associations, players, support staff, franchises, sponsors, partners, all service providers who have tried their best to organise the IPL 2021, even in these extremely difficult times. I'm a little disappointed that the cricket podcast didn't get a special mention in that paragraph for its elite coverage of the IPL, but I guess we can't have everything.
Well, yeah. So there we are. That's what the BCCI said. Ross, pretty inevitable, right?
Yeah, I think once one of the bio bubbles was breached, it was game over. Imagine the situation where, I mean, there's already thousands and thousands of people unfortunately ill and dying. I mean, if one of the players was to die in that kind of situation, then India wouldn't be trusted again throughout when COVID exists, so they wouldn't be able to host these kind of things. And I think it's probably come a little bit too late, but I think once the circus was going, they needed to continue as long as possible until something like this happened. It'd be interesting to see how it actually got breached. There was rumours that Chakravarti went for a scan outside of the bio bubble and didn't have to quarantine, whereas Natarajan, when he had one of his injuries, they were saying that he needed to do quarantining after he came back. And so there was just a bit of confusion around actually what things were established by the BCCI and then what was done by the teams, etc., and what was followed, etc. But ultimately, it doesn't matter now, right? Three teams, probably four teams who had breaches. So,
yeah, I mean, that's fundamentally what the problem was. So if you want to dig a bit deeper into why it was cancelled now and not last week or whatever, it's because at least two of the teams and possibly as many as four of the teams would just not be able to complete at least the next six fixtures, or at least their next three fixtures. So Sunrisers Hyderabad, I think more or less their whole team has to do a six-day quarantine. They've got three matches in the next 6 days. They can't be played. So, you know, when are you going to play them? KKR, they've got some players unavailable. So that's potentially another two fixtures that you'd have to cancel. Chennai Super Kings, a lot of them are also in isolation. Their bowling coach, El Balaji, was in the dugout with COVID, they think, during their match against Mumbai on Saturday. So that would affect another two matches. And because of all that, and the need to sort of, you know, to rebuild the bubbles, and because the way the tournament is scheduled is that the teams move about, so you spend a little bit of time in that city, then a little bit of time in that city, it makes rescheduling stuff at this point logistically virtually impossible. I know that early in the piece, or yesterday, they were thinking about moving the rest of the tournament to one venue, the thinking being that you could, in theory, re-establish a bubble in, say, Mumbai. That's, I think, where what was mooted. But I think probably just because of the number of people in isolation at this point, I think the whole capital squad are in isolation as well. It would just create such a fixture pile up. Plus, you've got problems with players probably not wanting to do that, to be honest. Plus, like, the optics of the whole thing looking pretty difficult. I mean, I think that's sort of ultimately why they've pulled the plug. In fact, I mean, like, if we're being honest, probably the players are not at significant risk of becoming seriously ill from COVID, but it's logistically, it now no longer makes sense for the BCCI to continue this tournament. And they've made, I think, ultimately the right decision, haven't they, Max? Do you think that at any point there was a different course of action that could have been taken here?
In terms of postponing it? I mean, I don't think... I don't think there was anything else you can do at this stage. I mean, I think it was the vice president of the BCCI has clarified that it has been postponed and not cancelled. So we'll see where that goes. But it's certainly not going to be the kind of thing that people were suggesting, that perhaps maybe we'll all come back in a week when everyone's out of quarantine and play them all in Mumbai, like you say, because that's very wishful thinking, isn't it? There's always going to be, the next case and then the next case, as the breach has happened already. We know this already with how, you know, COVID's behaved. Once it's started, it's not going to be over after one little week of lockdown. So there's really nothing else that can be done. And like you said, I think the logistics of doing it all at one place are This is just crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's okay doing, you can have like, you know, 4 or 5 international games in one venue or something like that. But when you're talking about 30 fixtures with 8 different teams, you know, you could maybe say, well, they won't all play in one place, but you still got to travel, get people around. And I think that's part of what's caused this in the first place, isn't it? Having people move around from place to place and different hotels and different hotel staff, and it all increases the chance of there being a weak link in the chain, which is ultimately what's happened.
I'm surprised it's gone on as long as it did, if I'm perfectly honest.
I'm not. I don't think so. I think there's 3 justifications for why it was fine to carry on. One, was it taking significant resources away from the wider battle against COVID? I don't think, or I didn't read, I didn't hear anything that suggested that was the case. Was it responsible for spreading COVID? No, I don't think that was ever the situation. And were the players safe? And I think the answer to that was yes. The problem is now, at least 2 of those things have been compromised, and quite possibly to set up a new bubble in, say, the middle of Mumbai might take resources away from the wider COVID battle. So I don't think there was any problem, really, with the IPL being played. And I'm also not one of those people who thinks it should have been cancelled because things are bad in India. I mean, I firmly believe that the human brain is capable of handling different emotions at the same time. And, you know, actually being able to punctuate your life with moments of joy or interest or heartbreak caused by things that are not life and death is, you know, one of the highlights of sport. That's why we sort of do it. Because, you know, like, ultimately, who gives a shit whether Mumbai won or Chennai Super Kings won at the weekend? It's because it was so trivial, in a sense, that you were able to get so invested in it from an emotional point of view. And you were able to enjoy that innings from Pollard. Because if it mattered more than it did, then, you know, it would cause actual suffering when Chennai Super Kings lost that match. Instead of, you know, all of the same kind of emotional highs and lows, but without any actual real world consequences. And I think you can absolutely have that happening at the same time as you know, bad things do happen in the world. And this is the same for sport, you know, all the time. Like, good and bad things happen to people all the time, regardless of what's happening in the sporting world. Granted, not maybe on the scale of a global pandemic, and you probably don't get crises as significant as you got in India, just as, you know, a par for the course thing. But like, individual tragedy is a thing that happens. And actually, I think like people do use sport as a lift in those situations. So to use an anecdote from my dad, the day his dad died in 2010, West Ham were playing Hull, and he was absolutely desperate that West Ham sort of did him a favour and won that match just to give him a little bit of a pickup. Obviously, it's West Ham, so they lost. but the point is, that is how it's the more trivial moments that you can invest emotionally in that don't have real world consequences that can provide the outlet at times like this. And I think the IPL probably was doing that for a lot of people. And that works both ways as well. I mean, like, people use sport to punctuate their lives. I mean, like the summer of 2019, you know, crazy shit was happening in UK Parliament to do with Brexit. The country was all like, was going to the dogs. But what do you remember about that? You remember Ben Stokes hitting a century at Headingley, and you remember exactly where you were for the World Cup final. And, you know, I think through this pandemic, sport has provided that outlet. Certainly for me, anyway. I mean, like, when shit was really bad, when my girlfriend's mum went to hospital in January, like, Joe Root getting centuries against Sri Lanka after that provided like something else to concentrate on for a while. And similarly, when that stuff was really, really bad here in February and March, the shouting at my TV about unfair pitches in India provided that release when there was literally nothing else going on. So I think it was good that it continued. It should have continued while it was safe. I think at this point, the fact that the players' lives are at risk, the fact that the bubble is breached, and the bubble's a really good analogy here because you can't repair a bubble once it's burst. You have to create a new bubble. I think that's gone, you know, like, and And I think actually it might be responsible for spreading COVID at this point as well. People are getting COVID because the IPL is happening. And I think at that point, you probably have to.
No, I think you're right. I think it's just, if you want to look at it in a really really clinical fashion, it's just like it's a cost benefit thing, isn't it? And you have to think about, you know, what are the benefits of the IPL being on while they were on? And we, you know, you discussed those with, you know, talking about having something to focus on. I mean, the mental health of people while the whole pandemic is going on has been obviously an important subject as well, with people being locked down and sport provides at least some relief for some people. So there's obviously that benefit there. And then you talk about the costs, and this is the point at which they probably now become untenable because of what you say about people getting ill, spreading it. But, you know, prior to that, what reason would you have to say that the IPL being on is bad, apart from, oh, this is something that's happening while all this bad stuff's going on, and out of respect you shouldn't do it? I mean, it's, you know, that's just a kind of a weird concept that doesn't actually, when you think about it logically, make that much sense.
Yeah, I agree with you, Max. I think there is some opportunists as well. There are people who just genuinely hate the IPL. So anything anything the IPL would have done, they would have been criticising it, going, oh, the county championship's better, the Big Bash in Australia is the best league in the world, I hate the IPL. But they can't channel their emotion, and they can't synthesise their feeling around that without channeling it towards something to hate like the IPL. So I think it was a lose-lose situation for them anyway. And it's great to be able to sit and, what, we've done what? 20 podcasts on the IPL, 25 podcasts on the IPL recently, and it's been great fun. And all the people who are going in the chat watching this now, listen to it on the podcast, like, it's been brilliant for all of us to do it. And it's been, the tournament up to now has been really good, unless you're a Sunrisers Hyderabad fan.
yeah, exactly. What do we want to talk about now? Because I suppose, you know, I think we've gone over why it was cancelled. I think we all agree it was the right time and it was the right decision. Max, you've read the official statement. So from a journalistic point of view, our integrity has never been higher.
We perhaps haven't provided a balanced view. We all have the same opinion, but we're not the BBC, so we don't have to get some crazy person on to tell you that climate change isn't real.
What is the alternate view, that it should continue?
To plow on.
Sort of discussed why that isn't possible, and it is as much to do with it being logistically impossible. I think, you know, there's, if I was going to be cynical, I would suggest that, you know, a few players getting COVID was something that they kind of bargained into the idea of holding the tournament this year.
Well, we spoke about
the scale and magnitude has got out of hand here.
Yeah, we spoke about the Premier League. We discussed whether we thought the IPL should carry on the other week, and we made similar arguments. But we also compared it to the English Premier League and how that went on when England was at its low point and the UK was at its low point over the winter. And there were a few cases of COVID in that time. You know, a couple of players had to sit out with positive tests, but they were much more isolated, weren't they? And it wasn't of the scale of, oh, this person got it and was also around the entire squad while he had it.
Yeah, the whole match day was just there hanging out. And I think that is the problem. You can't.
And also, the games aren't so thick and fast as well.
Yeah, and because of the venue changes, if you lose a couple of games, they're going to be in completely different cities. So it's actually very difficult. You'd have to meet them. You have to, you know, work out a way for them to all meet up at the end, or all those matches are draws. I mean, you could probably have one or two in the tournament called off as COVID washouts, but I don't think you can have. I think it was 8 of the next 10 fixtures would basically be unplayable, and then the competitive balance of the tournament's gone, so you might as well not do it. What will happen next, Ross, do you think? So the IPL 2021, it's not officially off. I think it's postponed indefinitely, was the phrase. Where are we going?
So I think if you look at the calendar, there's all kinds of stuff that's happening on an international scale, right? So if you've got the World Test Championship is just around the corner, you've then got England playing India in England, which should be an unbelievable test series, especially now that this has been postponed, because everyone's cricket fever is going to go into the summer. You've then got the World Cup to kind of go into that bit. And I think there's about a month between those. I think in September, there's kind of a bit of a lull where there's not too much cricket to be played. And then England go and play in the Ashes, which is is very unlikely to be kind of called off. So there's not much time to fit in the rest of the IPL games. And I think if they're going to do it, well, one, it can't happen in India. I don't think that the World Cup can happen in India based upon this, unless they have an unbelievable vaccination program that kind of happens across the summer. There's huge questions for the BCCI. I think, if I'm perfectly honest, I'll be surprised if this IPL gets finished.
Let's deal with the World Cup thing first, because I did take down a quote from a senior BCCI source. I didn't get it myself. I think I ripped it off Crick Viz. What's the one? ESPN Crick Info.
Yeah.
So they said the suspension of the IPL within 4 weeks is an indicator that it's not really safe to host a global event of that magnitude at a time when the country is fighting its worst healthcare crisis in the last 70 years. There is a chance of a third wave hitting the Indian shores in November. So while BCCI will remain the host, the tournament will probably shift to the UAE. I think that more or less as good as confirms that the World Cup, at least, will not be happening in India. We saw the IPL worked in the UAE last year. I think probably because it's slightly less dense, probably because there's way more, spare hotel, probably.
There's more hotel rooms than people. There's more hotel rooms than Emiratis. That's generally what they're...
Yeah. So you've got that. And then also the venues are probably slightly more controllable. They'll probably use the same three as last year's IPL. Oh,
because they're literally in the middle of nowhere.
Well, yeah, that and there you don't. It won't require at any point 8 teams shifting around the nation. They can just have a base, and it might be a couple of long coach journeys, but nothing extraordinary.
So I think the other thing is that they've got a blueprint as well. The BCCI, they're hosting it. They hosted the IPL in the UAE. It worked really well. Is it the same number of teams, or at least a similar number of teams? So you've got a blueprint for how to do it. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And I, for one, cannot wait to see the entire West Indies batting lineup at Sharjah.
That would be pretty fun. That actually would be pretty fun. It would be a massive shame, I think, that it won't be in India, which is, whether you like it or not, the center of gravity of the sport. And I think anytime you get an ICC tournament there, it just adds a little bit more to it. But I mean, it's, to some extent, I am kind of like, is it the world's best idea to host a T20 World Cup this year? But if you are going to be able to pull it off anywhere, I'm sure the UAE is the best or the most likely place to get it sorted. Don't you think, Ross?
Well, the Pakistan Super League of all the franchises have written to whoever organises it. I'm guessing it's the Pakistani Cricket
PCB,
Association.
And
said, right, we can't host this in Pakistan. It just won't work out in Pakistan. And again, it comes down to the density of population. And Max, as you say, though, in the UAE, there is just a blueprint to do this. Like, why, if you have the ability to do it in a much more safer environment, more controlled manner? And even in the chat, we've got people saying that actually, yeah, they are more strict with some of the rules. They know how the bio bubbles are going to work, etc. It's a no-brainer, really.
Okay, so that'll probably happen. On the topic of when the IPL is finished, I think that it will happen this year, Max. Am I wrong?
No, I had a look at the calendar as well, and I think what will happen is it could end up happening in July, and England just can't send any players. I suppose there is a seasonal issue, of course, with monsoons. So that I don't know when the monsoon season ends in India, but I think basically looking at the calendar, there is one common theme to all of the international events before the World Cup, and they are England. And you may just have to either say, well, look, you can play in the IPL, but you won't be playing for England, or there are quite a few other countries with a lot of players invested in the tournament. And the key thing, obviously, is not to have Indian international fixtures going on at the same time.
This is why I didn't think it would happen in July, to be honest, because India, they have the World Test Championship, I think, the middle of June. So they would have to, as
I think it's the 18th.
To do that, they would have to fly out, do the quarantine and everything, play New Zealand, fly back to India or to the UAE, I think, if we're being honest. That's going to be where this IPL's finishing, in my opinion. Do whatever they needed to do to get in there, then fly back out to England for the series, the bilateral series, like the when does that kick off? In late July or early August? And I don't I don't really see that the Indian players will be massively thrilled by that prospect. Obviously, you know, from a financial perspective, it will be worth their while. And from a contractual point of view, they sort of have signed up to this thing. But I don't, I think that's almost impossible. I think September is more probable, September, October. Mm. So I think, I don't think the whole international calendar has been fully mapped out, but at the moment, England v Pakistan is the only, or are the only fixtures in the diary. So England are going on a goodwill tour effectively to Pakistan to play a couple of T20s.
You think they'll just send a B team?
Well, I think that, or England, well, England players, as you say, Max, might not feature in the back half of the IPL. But that, I mean, I when I was looking, I think September is the obvious solution to this. And I honestly, I can't see them not playing it. I think if for people who, you know, think that the international game is going to take precedence over finishing an IPL, sorry, mate, you've just not been paying attention to cricket for the last 12 years.
Have you seen in the live chat, Udit Chandani has messaged us about 50 million times saying just after the World Cup in Dubai is the best bet. So everyone's in the bubbles, load of the players are already there. So
I think the main thing for the IPO is that the Indian players can play, and September, October is the window that's obvious for Indian players to play.
And also makes it a very good warm-up, doesn't it, for the World Cup?
Yes. We've got another question, and this is maybe about something more recently from Vasanth, who says, will the World Test Championship happen? Should Indian players go to England and finish off the quarantine fast? How will it pan out? World Test Championship, Ross, I'm pretty sure that will happen.
Yeah, I can't see it not happening. I think India have geared up to win that competition, and I think you're not going to be able to convince Virat Kohli to say, no, you're going to stand down on that front. I think in England at the moment, we're in a fortunate position where we've come through a pretty horrible second wave of the COVID infections, etc. And I think that they'll jump at the opportunity to come and play cricket here. So,
I think it can't really be overstated how different the prospects for the UK are now compared to February. It's something like 56% of the population has been vaccinated. There was one COVID death yesterday in the UK, and there was one the day before. Our health people, the head, we've got some heads of the chief doctors basically in the UK have been saying they can't believe the scenario, and they've
been qualified
pretty,
ones, not the elected ones.
Yeah, they've been pretty gloomy about the prospects of the UK's fight against COVID for the last 18 months. So that it's interesting that they're being very positive. So I think there'll be a full schedule of cricket in the UK this summer, and I actually think there'll be crowds, proper crowds, at most international fixtures, which isn't a scenario we like really envisaged. to be honest, and it does show that like as bad as stuff does get, eventually it will get better.
Get vaccinated.
Well, get vaccinated is the key thing, isn't it? Like that's the cricket podcast's health message for the day. Right. Anything else that we want to cover off here? Possibly how some of the players are going to get home. Max, I don't know if you've seen any of this. It's pretty hairy for a lot of Australians,
in particular, are going to struggle, aren't they? Because it is currently illegal to enter Australia if you've been in India in the past couple of weeks, and that's in place till the 15th of May. So the BCCI said they'll do their best to get everyone home safely. So they've got a lot of negotiating to do with the Australian government, who are not exactly famed for being welcoming to anyone other than themselves. So that could even each other. So that could be a bit of a problem. You actually suggested, didn't you, the other day, Ross, that maybe they'll try and get themselves a few games in the county championship or the blast in the coming months if they can't make it back, which could be an option. But I think the Australian one is a really interesting one to watch. I think most other countries it'll probably be all right with just some quarantining. I think they've got much better. In this country, at least we have quite a well set up hotel quarantining thing, as long as you've got the money to pay for it. Whereas in Australia, I think they've just gone for the other option of not letting anyone in, which is why they don't have many cases. So, you know, there's different ways of approaching it. It'll be interesting to see what Pat Cummins does.
Well, if I was them, I'd be picking a bit of a glamorous location, trying to get in there where some of the rules are a little bit laxer, doing a quarantine in a very nice place, or getting a cruise ship. Why doesn't David Warner get like a reality TV
cruise
show
ships, yeah.
on a famously, cruise ship? That's really good for COVID, isn't it?
Yeah, famously good for COVID.
You could do the whole IPL when it restarts just on a cruise ship by that logic, couldn't you? You
indoor
need
game.
To build a pitch on the top, but as long as everyone tests negative and quarantines going into it, the cruise ship is the perfect bio-bubble.
That'd be good. And actually, then you wouldn't have to hear about the dew factor all the time. It just becomes it'll be the sea factor instead.
The sea spray factor, yeah.
Now we're making waves here, boys. We're making waves. I like this. Shall we talk about the cricket? Because there was some cricket that actually did happen.
Yeah, I do think we should probably talk about the cricket. What matches were there, Ross?
There were my beloved Rajasthan Royals versus Sunrisers Hyderabad, and the Punjabi Kings faced off against the Delhi Capitals.
Well, we normally do it in reverse order, don't we? So we might as well stick with that. I mean, obviously, it's a little bit ridiculous to talk about the cricket that, may next be relevant in, what do we predict? 5 months' time.
5 months, yeah.
5 months. So, you know, like, if you're referring back to this, in the future. This is what we thought about Punjab Kings v Delhi Capitals. So Punjab, they batted first and nobody except Mayank Agarwal did anything. But he did fucking everything. He got 99 or 58 balls, which was a really, really quite extraordinary innings. The rest of the team managed a total of 67 off 62, which was really, really bad. In response, Delhi chased it easily. Darwin was the star. He scored 70-odd. Hetmyer did some damage at the end. It kind of went the way we expected. Delhi are pretty good. I think they'll be maybe the big loser from this postponement, won't they, Max? Because they were on a roll.
Yeah, they were going like a train, and actually looking really impressive as well. I think it wasn't like the wins they were getting were, they weren't sneaking the wins. They were in all departments. They were looking really solid. You had Prithvi Shaw just playing out of his mind, and Shimran Hetmyer turning up as well, which was a really good boon for them down the order, where we said last year they struggled a bit with their power hitting. So he's turned that around for them in the last couple of games, and everything apart from Steve Smith batting at three for them looked up. So yeah, they'll be disappointed, I think, but probably in the first half of the IPL, in the first half of the year, probably done themselves enough to make it through to the playoffs, whatever happens when they return.
Exactly. Ross, Mayank Agarwal, 99 or 58 balls, you'd be a bit disappointed if your team only scored 67 off the other half of the innings, wouldn't you?
It's just frustrating. It must be really frustrating for Agarwal, because he's always in KL Rahul's shadow, or he's in Gale's shadow. He's a quality cricketer. Like, he's absolutely brilliant. And I think that some of the team members of Punjab Kings have kind of let their fellow cricketers down a little bit. But I mean, also some of the selection for them is still a bit strange to me. Like in that scenario, we were talking before, and when Dan Weston's been on the show, talks around how they're misusing Chris Gayle. How can you misuse Chris Gayle when he's been around forever in T20 cricket? Like, you know what he's good at, you know what he's built his game around, and yet they still go, like, KL Rahul, we wish him all the best with his appendicitis, But there is a bit where just their leadership of that structure is just baffling to me.
Fully agree with that. The rumor is basically that their team owner just meddles endlessly in the selection, and that is going to probably lead to subpar results because he's just a bloke. Like he's not doing it full time. He's hired experts. He's got Kumble on the bench. And what is the point in having Kumble on the bench if you're then going to come in and just like do whatever you fancy with the team selection? Be like, no, Chris Gayle, like, look, I know he's the greatest T20 opener ever, but like, why don't we try him in a completely different role? Because we don't know. I mean, imagine how good he could have been if he'd been just like a number three his whole career. It's I don't know.
I think it comes all the way down. And that selection point you make is really interesting because actually they spent so much money on different players. If it is the owner meddling, like he's not done a very good job, is he, of meddling? He's just like, yeah, spray a load of money at Riley Meredith, put a load of money on Jai Richardson, then bench him. Good ideas, guys.
Yeah, pretty dumb overall. Do we want to talk about David Milan? He made his IPL debut, Max.
He did, didn't he? And he did the first half of David Milan. Unfortunately, the second half didn't happen. So
yeah.
the oft-spun tale of, oh well, okay, you scored 70 off 40, but what happens if you go out after 20 and you're on 20? Well, we saw that one, didn't we? And it's a shame, but also he's been sat around cold, not doing anything for a while, and he wasn't the only one who failed to do anything in that game. So a little shame for him that that's going to be his only game for ages.
Whoa! He did do something. He pretty much replicated Kale Rahul. He got 26 ball 26.
Like for like replacement.
We should
batting at four instead.
We should wish Kale Rahul a good recovery. I mean, I know we take the mick out of him a little bit on this show, but he went down with acute appendicitis, didn't he, Ross? I believe you've got some personal experience of that battle.
Yeah, it's not a very nice one, I'll tell you that for free. Like, it is really not a nice thing to go through. Some people react differently to the anaesthetic that you go on. I did not react well, so let's hope that he's a little bit better. I think Max, let's talk about Delhi, because Delhi, I mean, we said that Shikhar Dhawan was going to be the orange cap holder. Lo and behold, here he is, top of the pops.
I definitely said Dhawan would be orange cap holder. That was I definitely said that. I definitely didn't say it would be Kohli. Oops. never mind. Yeah. Well, brilliant. He's great, isn't he? Isn't he great? What is there to say other than how great he is? And his little shot that he's started playing of walking across the stumps and spooning it over his shoulder makes Steve Smith look like an idiot, and that's what we live for.
Yeah, but I mean, Prithvi Shaw has also been absolutely brilliant. Pant's kind of captaincy has been a bit hit and miss here and there, but ultimately they are top of the league standing. So he couldn't have had a better opening
for a while yet.
could be the longest stint at the top of the IPL in history.
Should we do the second game?
Yeah, so my beloved Royals played Sunrisers Hyderabad, and with all the captaincy drama for Sunrisers and the bluster of the winds of change, the end result was upsettingly the same for the boys in orange. Kane Williamson's newfound charge was met by a bigger one by Joss Boxed Office Butler, who saw off the early threat of Rashid Khan to turn a watch winnings into an absolutely blistering one. Finishing with, I think it was 8 sixes and 11 fours at a strike rate of 190-odd. The rest of the game, ultimately after that point, once Rajasthan Royals had posted 220 with kind of input from Sampson, etc., they were always chasing the game. And unfortunately, as we've said time and time again, Sunrisers just are not set up to chase that down, especially if they drop David Warner for Mohammad Nabi. And to be fair to Mohammad Nabi, if he would have continued in his vein of striking at 340, they would have got there, but he didn't. So ultimately, Sunrisers Hyderabad suffered another humiliating defeat after what has been a PR disaster for them this week. So, up the Royals. And I think they can look back and say, do you know what? We've actually not done too badly to record 3 wins from their 7 games, especially considering the injury woes that we've had.
Yeah, it was nice to see Josh Butler kind of return to form, because I wouldn't say he had a terrible IPL. I mean, he's a banker to open the batting for them. He was never at risk of being dropped or anything like that, but we hadn't seen him completely light a game up. I think we'd seen like a couple of 40s or maybe 150. So it's always good when you get a proper reminder of Josh Butler's talent, I think. Like it never looks lucky, and it always looks completely dominant. Uncharacteristically for Josh Butler, Max, he started off reasonably slowly in this one, didn't he? What do you reckon the factors behind that were?
Well, I think that might be the Kane Williamson approach of bowling Rashid Khan at the start, which was interesting. It was something different. It was at least nice to see Sunrisers try something else, isn't it? But they pretty much bowled Rashid Khan out at the start of the game in the power play, which very wisely meant that Josh Butler wasn't trying to smack him everywhere, because we know that that's basically impossible. And once he'd got him out of the way, it was feast time.
Yeah, I didn't actually mind that approach from Kane Williamson. It got a bit of stick on Twitter. But actually, if you look at Rajasthan Royals' lineup, if you get Josh Butler early, if you get Sampson early, they're going to struggle to hit any kind of runs. And I think it was potentially the right approach.
But it almost worked as well, but for a really poor bit of reviewing.
Yeah, it was pretty daft, wasn't it? And also picking Vijay Shankar, which I just think is hilarious because they continue to do it.
I really like him. I think it's funny watching a guy run in off a proper run-up and then bowl about the same speed as Axel Patel, often with the wicketkeeper back as well. Like it's like...
you get it in Sunday cricket all the time.
Yeah,
the guy who comes
in
off the longest run-up in the world and then just basically stops when he gets to the wicket, loses all momentum, does like a double windmill, and it loops to you, and you're like, it's confusing. It does work the first time you see it.
Yeah. Anything else from this cricket match, Ross, that we need to pick up on?
I think it should be noted that Chris Morris has done a pretty outstanding job for Royals actually coming in. So we kind of talk that he is unbelievably expensive in what this was. But actually, if you talk about the people who have actually returned some of those things and actually put in match-winning innings and match-winning performances, I think actually taking those three wickets and doing well in that game is another contributing factor to actually him being in the right place at the right time, and a good pickup for them. I think Mr. Vizier Rahman as well, also really well played. And I'm a Royals fan now. I don't think I can shift away from the franchise.
Really?
I think we were going to do it kind of year on year. I'm feeling a bit of a bond with Tawatia and the lads.
you've gone native. Well, okay, that's fine, isn't it? They like the team for England, aren't they? So very on brand.
There is one more thing, that Josh Butler now has the same amount of T20 centuries as Alistair Cook. So well done, Josh Butler.
That's pretty good. So that's the other two games from the IPL. The table as it stands, we should maybe run through that quickly, because it's going to be the same for a while. Mm-hmm. At the bottom, the Sunrisers Hyderabad, one win from their seven matches. They've been pretty bad. Only slightly less bad, Kolkata Knight Riders, two wins from their seven matches. And only slightly less bad than them, Punjab, three wins from eight. I can't say I've enjoyed watching any of those three teams play. Max, anything redemptive you'd like to say about the Kings, Knight Riders or the Sunrisers before the IPL goes on break?
Andre Russell.
Yeah, okay, that's it,
isn't it? That's the one, that's the only reason at the moment you tune in to watch KKR play, because there is a chance you're going to see something unbelievable. But aside from that, yeah, I suppose in each team you could say maybe I'd tune in to watch Chris Gayle because he might do something similar, and Sunrisers, I'll watch whatever four overs Rashid Khan's bowling and then turn off.
That is it. That is literally the whole game for Sunrisers. Above that, we've got Rajasthan. Ross, you've just covered them off. Then we've got Mumbai in fourth. Away from Chennai, they look good. And you have to think that unless the tournament restarts just in Chennai, then they're going to make the playoffs, Ross.
Yeah, it'd be quite difficult to stop them, I think. But I mean, this break, you don't know what happens with injuries, player availability, etc. And it would be bloody hilarious that everything's going to get played at the cheap hop, but I can't see that happening, could you?
So. No. Then above that, both with five wins from their seven matches, Royal Challengers Bangalore and Chennai Super Kings. I think this break's come at a decent time for both of those, because I think there's the potential for either of those two teams to slide a little bit, Matt.
I don't know. I my concern with CSK is that another 6 months of aging in that side, and it could all go horribly wrong, couldn't it? You know, it could just finally hit over the precipice of not being able to get out of bed in the morning. I almost fancy Rajasthan to sneak in if it happens later in the year and Jofra Archer is able to play and come back, because did they replace him? They didn't replace him because he wasn't officially out.
Yeah, I think it'd be fine to play.
Could happen.
A masterstroke from Chris McCrum. And then finally, that leaves Delhi, who we have talked about. And they have been pretty good, haven't they, Ross?
I've just enjoyed watching. I think it's great to see Prithvi Shaw kind of reinvigorated. Pant's an exciting player, maybe not a great captain, but maybe turned into one. Their bowling unit seems to be clicking a little bit more. And kind of Akshar's filled kind of Ashwin's boots with no worries, really. So we'll see what happens there, because he still picked Steve Smith, and that still makes me feel a little bit sick. But hopefully Amrik Nokia comes back into the side at some point.
Sure. Right, so that's the IPL done until September. Should we mention what we're going to be up to over the next little while, or give people a heads up? Because we're not going to wrap up the podcast or anything like that. We do intend on doing, I think we've said, at least one show a week. So we will look to do something on Mondays probably. And then if we are able to, a second show which we'll do live, hopefully with some guests, as we were thinking this Thursday, weren't we, Ross? As the first one of those, we're going to try and get Dan. We haven't told Dan Weston about this, but you know, he sometimes listens. So we're going to try and get Dan Weston on, and we'll do a little bit more of a lighthearted Q&A about the IPL so far. It'll be pretty unstructured. Maybe we'll do like our top five players or something like that. And then after that, you guys in the audience, if you just want to chat us,
we've got a good idea from Pranay. Yeah, Pranay's coming. Can you guys make a duds 11? I can definitely make a dud 11.
There's already one. They're eighth, aren't they?
Yeah. Beyond that, if you're only going to tune in when there's cricket on, because it will obviously have to be a little bit contrived. We'll maybe talk about the county championship. And if you're looking for cricket, it's on wall to wall, basically, on YouTube. If you're sitting in India wondering what to do, starts about 10:30 UK time, so that's probably lunchtime ish in India, and then runs all the way through the day for 8 hours. The quality's good. It's decent first class cricket, so you can get involved in that. We might talk about it a little bit, but it probably won't form the backbone of our shows. But if you are going to come back when we actually start doing cricket content again, we will of course be doing all the England stuff this summer. We'll be doing the World Test Championship. Who are we going to be supporting in the World Test Championship? Max, do you know?
I always just have a soft spot for New Zealand in Test cricket. I really like their team, and Kane Williamson's a nice guy. So,
well, Ross, you'll have to support India then.
fine with me. My boy's in blue.
And then there's a big series, isn't there? There's England v India all the way through the summer, and then probably be back into the IPL and the World Cup. So there will be plenty of cricket content. So you should hit subscribe if you haven't already. I think there's 160 odd people watching this right now.
They all want the 100. They all want the 100.
They all want the 100.
We'll definitely do that. We'll definitely cover that.
We're in. I don't know. Negotiations is probably too strong a phrase, but we have an automatic reply
from someone's email address.
Well, not automatic reply. We have spoken to someone at the ECB, and we're going to try and do some pretty good coverage of that. Get some players on if we're lucky. So we should, if all things work out well, we should have some good 100 stuff coming up.
We're going to sell out some more.
The next 4 weeks. Not going to lie, it's going to be a bit lean. we'll have to see what we can come up with.
There's a big IPL-sized gap in the calendar, isn't there?
We can always just report on I Don't Like Cricket Club and Max getting out LBW again and again and again. But
I was actually going to finish off the show by... because some people did ask what happened to the at the weekend. Max, Well, do you want to talk people through that game? Because we haven't done. You do the summaries normally, don't you? Do you want to summarise how so I don't like Cricket Club overcame the Ploughmen?
You want me to ad lib the I don't like Cricket Club game from Sunday? Right, I'll give it a go. All right. Well, it was a pretty chilly morning, and as I got off the train at Herne Hill to make my way to Dulwich, it did start raining, which proffered. Not a great sign for the remainder of the day. But fortunately, the only other rain we saw was a brief shower before the start of play, which allowed us as the fielding side to experience what the dew factor might really be like, as the ball was unable to stick in anyone's hand. We did eventually manage to bowl straight. And as always happens with the opening bowlers that I don't like Cricket Club, they were too good for the opening batsman to get any bat on. So they just constantly beat the outside edge. I, as wicketkeeper, was 50% of the time able to catch the ball after it didn't hit the outside edge. And the other 50% of the time, maybe broke my finger, I'm not sure, but it really hurts. It's still very purple. But then they brought in this guy called Max, who is a better version of Max than me, because he came out and batted with a sock stuck in his waistline and then smashed the ball all over the place and started walking down the wicket to all of our bowlers, including the one that we brought on to bowl at him to get him out. And then by the end, we were probably glad that it was over. Jack did bring it back a bit. Jack brought it back a bit by getting in with the wrong'un. He got him LBW with a wrong'un. And he was perplexed by the fact that he'd been done by the wrong'un. It was a good ball. It was good. So yeah, I think what did they get in the end? 252 off 35 overs, which looked like a bit of a strong chase. But as we all said at tea, there was a key partnership that needed to go well for I don't like Cricket Club to chase those runs down, and that was between our very own Ross Legg and another man called Liam, who we've dubbed Good Liam, much to the chagrin of the other Liam, who we call Bad Liam, because Good Liam used to play grade cricket in Australia and has played with people like Jason Gillespie. So as you can imagine, he's really, really, really good, and we all enjoy watching him bat. So we'll skip through the opening partnership of our innings, because that involved me not really being able to hit the ball very well. But after shuffling along to 12 and then getting triggered LBW in the most disgraceful manner possible, because I hit it and I maintain that I hit it, we ended up with Ross.
But Max, you said it on the field. You literally you sorry, shouted yes. at the umpire.
I didn't shout. I'd never shout at Robin. I'd never shout at Robin. I just informed him of the two reasons that his decision was incorrect, and he shrugged his shoulders and said, "Oh well, sorry, mate," which was probably the right thing to say back. Then we ended up with Ross and Liam three, four, five, and they put on a stand of 115 after basically deciding to smack the ball. There was a very short boundary. It was about 20 metres. I think you could probably actually throw a stone over it for six, but they made the most of it. Ross decided, took a liking to one particular grey-haired bowler who seemed to have been going for the latest Tony Blair look. I don't know if you've seen that, but he's sort of swept his grey hair back and looking a little Gollum-esque from Lord of the Rings. Ross tucked into him, scored about 20-odd off that over. So the other team did what we did and brought on their good bowler to try and get Ross and Liam out, who was the aforementioned Max with the sock in his pants. But that didn't work so well, did it? Because Ross just decided to hit him over over Cal Corner for six as well. And basically smashed them out of the game. Unfortunately, I then had to give him out LBW on 91, just after Ross had asked what score he was on. I told him he didn't want to know, but he was adamant that he would find out how close he was to 100, as we only needed 15 to win. And the very next ball, he was pinned so plumb in front, I couldn't, despite trying very hard. Mate. It kept a bit low, and I tried my best to find a reason that it wasn't out, but I spent a little while thinking about one and did not find one. So out he went, which allowed our very own Jack Hope to come in and finish the game off with a six over the aforementioned short boundary, which, as you can see, is necessary with the lack of guns on display there. So it was a very, very good win. Probably slightly unexpected. We don't normally chase down that many runs. And it was a brilliant performance from Ross, I have to say. And then there were many beers after, which was nice as well. Because it turned out the opposition were actually really good. And their really good player, who our bowler thought was a total prick because he kept coming down the wicket, we kept telling him, look, mate, he's actually really nice. I'm sorry to tell you, he's actually a really all right guy and was really nice. He was like, no, I refuse to believe it. Then we introduced them and he was very complimentary about the guy's bowling. And he was like, oh, God, he is nice. I hate it.
Well, there we are.
What a summary.
That was 15 minutes, wasn't it?
You know what's amazing about that? The only 10 people stopped watching during that summary. So probably
hardcore
our greatest
fans.
Achievement.
Love
to
it.
Date. Anyway, we've been going 56 minutes. There's nothing left to talk about. We will be back Thursday. We're going to try and get Dan Weston. If not, we'll get someone else. We'll be doing like an IPL Q&A because... You know, we didn't maybe do as much cricket content as we could have today. And there's still plenty to talk about. Who was the best player so far? Like, who was the worst player? Who's in Ross's Duds 11? That's what we've got to look forward to. And then following that, we'll, talk about something else. Thank you very much for listening. Final reminder, we're sponsored by Woodstock Cricket. And you can find us on social media at The Cricket Pod. We really appreciate anyone who's sent us a super chat recently, and we've really enjoyed covering the IPL with everyone. We've enjoyed the interactions, which is why we keep coming back. So yeah, see you later.
Even the abuse.
See you on Thursday. I think hopefully we'll see lots of you then.
See you later, everybody.